Sports Gamble Podcast.
All right, welcome to the Sports Gamble Podcast, NFL Week 14 edition. Feeling pretty good, recording this on a Monday morning. We usually do Tuesday or Wednesday. How you feeling today, Emmanuel? What's up?
I'm feeling terrific. I'm excited about tonight's game, actually.
Yeah, man. Don't usually record in the morning, man. I got my coffee, I got my water, you know, I'm chilling, I'm feeling up in the morning.
Oh, man, I wish I had some coffee.
Can't live without
coffee. I'm
too lazy
to get it. It's made. It's made already. I just haven't made it. I mean, I just haven't got up and poured me some, but.
So week 13 was interesting, man. How did your teasers go? How
the
Mets go?
The teasers went 2-2. So I wasn't really disappointed. I mean, the only one I was really disappointed is I was disappointed in how the Dolphins performed. But you kind of got to expect that from a team that's not ready to, you know, be in playoff contention. And just this is barely year one of the Adam Gase era. So you kind of shouldn't have included that in there, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
And
that's good.
The other one is I expected the Rams to do a little bit more scoring, so they missed the under by a point. I mean, they missed the over by a point. So that's the way she goes. And then the other one, actually, it's pending one. I'm going to say I'm just giving it to myself already, but I got the Colts plus four tonight on the second league, on the second one. The other one was pretty much never in doubt. Right when Derek Anderson threw the first pass of the game, you knew the onslaught was on.
Oh, yeah, that game was never in doubt. That was a weird game last night, too. But, man, if Russell Wilson and Doug Baldwin had a bigger game, I could have won some pretty good money. I mean, in DFS, like you saw, I was texting you last night. I won a couple $100, so it was pretty good. Pretty good week for me for DraftKings, you know. Nah, I'm not a big stakes kind of guy, but I do research and put the time in and try to win some money, just like you do with the lines.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we try to bring to you, Sports Gamble Podcast. All right, so let's get into the games. We already talked about Monday's game in the last podcast. Is there anything you want to add to it just while we're here? We never record before the Monday game is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's cheap. I think you have Indianapolis minus two at most locations, so I would get in. It's definitely a pick'em line. I believe the Jets are dead, and I believe Indianapolis is starting its playoff push. You know, they have to get to 500. I usually don't like to wager on teams that must win because they're in must win scenarios for a reason. They suck.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I mean, we're talking about the Jets here on the other side. We're talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick, and we're talking about a secondary where Revis, I don't think, has even put in 100% effort this season.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with you from a fantasy perspective. I like Forte in this game. I think he's going to get passes and he's going to get a lot of rushes. If you think the Jets are just going to like, or if you think the Colts are going to blow him out, I think Bilal Powell and like, you can always throw Marshall out there. He's always pretty good.
I mean, right, like you, I think it's a special podcast because we could talk about people who do Monday Thursday tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, so if you're looking at the Thursday game, which is the Chiefs and the Raiders, that's a divisional matchup that has a potential. I mean, we'll look at the lines. Where are we at with that game? Let's see.
It's Raiders are underdogs by three. It's really a tricky situation for both teams. The Raiders are in a revenge spot. They just come back. They completed the comeback. It seems like they're always behind, and they just make these, you know, immaculate or, you know, probable comebacks, I should say, whether it's the Texans on Monday night, and then they give up the lead to the Panthers, and all seems lost. You have Derek Carr out with the pinky injury, and then he comes back and leads his troops, and they get a W, which pretty much dashes the Panther season, leads to a silly half of first drive suspension, which pretty much cost them the game. Yeah. I don't think they really had a chance, but you can point to that, the fact that that was just dumb as hell. But anyways, and then now you have the Raiders going on the road. The Chiefs have just won two miraculous games to beat the Falcons by 1 point.
That game was crazy.
Andy Reid going for fake punts. You know, who is this guy? All of a sudden, who's He must be banging his mistress or something, right? But or she must be banging him, right?
He does. He is coaching with a lot of confidence these days.
Yeah, he's getting the swag back. And like I said, the Raiders. This is a revenge spot for the Raiders. I still not finished on the Chiefs. I mean, they went back. They just finished playing five quarterbacks. You know, not less than a week ago, 8 days ago against the Denver Broncos on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a pretty highly televised ball game. It's Thursday night. There's no more college football. I don't think people are getting into the NBA till Christmas, if at all. Not only that, but I mean, this game's going to be played in low teens. I'm even hearing that we might have some single digits.
Oh, the weather. Yeah, the weather was impacting some games yesterday for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, the Raiders, what they like to do is they like to sling it around, but catching the ball in sub-zero temperatures, you know, tundra-like conditions, Arctic conditions, that's different than catching the ball in Oakland.
Southern California. Man. And so, I mean, and back to our original
point. And then we saw, I mean, you could attribute the Raiders' loss to the fact that they like to sling it around. And the fact that is Derek Carr was slinging around a wet ball when they lost to the Chiefs 26-10.
True. So that's a good point. Yeah.
But the books keep losing with the Raiders. They keep setting these low lines, and people just keep betting the Raiders, especially the Vegas people. They know the Vegans are coming to town, and they're already hopped on the bandwagon. We're getting a winner. Whether it's Texans, you know, +6.5, they don't cover. Depends. A lot of people, I'm sure, probably even tease the Raiders so they don't have to worry. They beat the Panthers. And last week, I mean, you have the Raiders -3, and then they win 38-24. That was, I mean, I know they were down a little bit, so it's not like it was never in doubt, but you just felt that the momentum, like it wasn't even that close.
Can I tell you something, Manuel?
Sure.
I like the Chiefs in this game, and I like the under. I think this is going to be a pretty well fought.
I do like the under, but I'm tired of betting against the Raiders, man.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be like, you know what? Fuck it.
That's like how I feel betting on the Niners.
I just can't believe, like, are the Raiders really this good? Like, I think they've gotten all the breaks, but that's just how it is. I mean, last year the Panthers got all the breaks, and this year you can see that they're not getting the breaks. So just fuck it. If you got to roll with it. You know, I don't have to put my money down, but I on or against them, but I do like the under.
I mean, the Raiders are balling. What can you say? But back to the original point, yeah, if you are playing the Monday-Thursday slate, like you said, I say you load up on tonight's game as opposed to the Oakland game. I like the running backs in the Oakland game if that's what we're going to do. All right, so is there anything else you like about the Thursday game? Should we talk more about it or just move on to Sunday?
Well, I think if you're still going to load up on somebody on Thursday, I think it's got to be Kelce. I think he's trying to salvage the season. And with the Macklin injuries out, and he just Alex Smith has like three targets. It's like Spencer Ware, Lovely for us, Tyreek Hill, and also Kelce.
Yeah, man, I think Travis Kelce like saw the ratings of his reality show, and he's like, I should probably focus on football.
I never saw one episode.
I saw a little bit when the wife was watching it, man, and I was like, God. He's much better on the football field than he is on TV. Anyways, man, that's enough about Travis Kelce's show. Let's go on to Sunday's game. I agree with you with the Kelce thing. It's unfortunate we dropped him, but oh well. Brate's
because pretty. Brate did well. He's going to do well.
We'll talk about our fantasy team at the end.
There's no tight ends. You got to pick your poison. I really don't like Dwayne Allen and Jack Doyle. He's going to split snaps. So I like Doyle, but I prefer Kelce.
Yeah, for sure. Me too.
I usually play tight ends, but when I do, I play.
I play one, two in reality shows. All right, Sunday, Denver at Tennessee. I don't see a line. Is that because we don't know who's going to start for Denver?
That quarterback? But, I mean, it can't be more than three either way.
Yeah, I agree.
It can't be more than three either way. If anything, they're probably giving the Super Bowl champs some respect, maybe fair by 2.5.
Their defense is good, man. Their defense is legit.
Who's the defense?
Denver. They were the highest priced defense on DK, and I was like, forget it. I'm just going to roll with them last week in a lot of leagues, and they put up 17.
I'm going to make an argument against that. I don't think their defense is legit. They're 28th against the run. Gave 154 yards against Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're right. They are. That's their weakness, is the run.
That's their weakness. Mm-hmm. And, well, you have people thinking, you know, I'm not going to say people like you, but yeah, a majority of people think, oh, this Denver defense, Super Bowl defense, which is all true. But their Achilles heel does tend to be against the run. Back to the game that the Oakland Raiders shredded them, pretty much got shredded on the ground. And what does the Tennessee Titans do best? They feed DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. That's what they do. And so I think this is a very tricky ball game for the Denver Broncos. Tennessee Titans, they're fresh. You're talking about a fresh running attack versus a team that doesn't even know who's going to play at quarterback on back-to-back road games. I definitely think the Titans are going to come out to win this ball game, especially after they see the Colts catch them tonight and both be at 6-6.
Yeah, I just think from a fantasy perspective, their defense is one of the best. I mean, they scored a touchdown yesterday. They're very consistent. They get sacks. They get pressure on the quarterback. They get fumbles, you know.
You want to say they're opportunistic, but you know how many Marcus Mariota turnovers he has in the red zone?
How many?
In his career?
How many?
Zero.
That's good. No, I'm not saying this spot in particular, but when you get pressure on the quarterback like that, it makes it really difficult. You know that. We don't see a line. We don't see over-under. I'm going to say the over-under is going to be low for this game because they're both pretty decent defenses and they both like to run the ball, you know?
So that's 43.5 just because our Titans are at home.
Yeah, that's going to limit plays and stuff. So, I mean, if you like if you say they're weak against the run, DeMarco Murray or the rookie, you know, the Henry, Henry.
They gave up 154 yards to the Jacksonville Jaguars. They give up an average of 141 yards, and the Tennessee Titans had the second best rushing attack in the NFL.
Yeah, not a lot of people are going to be on Murray or Henry because they're going to see Le'Veon Bell. They're going to see David Johnson. They're going to see LeSean McCoy, and those guys are going to be high, and they're going to be like, I'm just going to roll with them. But plus, off reputation, you know, Denver defense. It's stout, but they're not stout.
Yeah, just like you said, just like you started. You're like, oh, the Denver defense is this, and you just got to move on. I know, I understand that they came through for you, but you got to move on to the next game, and I don't think that table will match up.
No, I agree, and they're going to be higher priced. All right, San Diego at Carolina. Over-under is 48.5, 49. Carolina, I'm looking at, they're one-point favorites at home. Did it open? It opened at 3, and it's already bet down to 1.
Yeah, they
see because of that performance last night, dude, it was pretty bad.
I don't think so much as the performance. I think it's just cumulative what the Chargers did off a loss and what they do on the road. And the fact is that you have a team that's playing hard for their coach and a team that's not playing hard for their coach.
Yeah. What was up with that Derek Anderson being in the game yesterday? I don't know. You know, I mean,
I don't know. It is what it is. I mean, what can you say? I'm really not trying to bet on any of these teams. Honestly, these two teams are kind of like bet against teams. Maybe if Philip Rivers is an underdog, I like him as an underdog, but never as a favorite. That's two times as a favorite. Not that he burned me. I bet against them, but that, you know, you can't trust. So when you have a read on somebody, you have a read on somebody. And they lost to the Dolphins as 3.5-point dogs. The line was like 6.5 against Tampa Bay. It crashed down to 3. And they lost outright both games. So we already knew San Diego was not really giving it. That's not really – they don't really have a home field advantage in San Diego.
Yeah. Fantasy-wise, I really like the running backs of these two teams. Melvin Gordon.
I don't like Jordan Stewart. I'm advising against that.
I just think it's a good spot.
This offensive line, well, you can count your spots, but spots don't block. And the Carolina offense line is very craptastic. And if you look at the Chargers, they're top 5 against the run. So, like I said, I think this team's pretty much just throwing in their towel for next year. And especially just they don't have anybody really to give Jonathan Stewart a breather. So I'm going to advise against Jonathan Stewart.
All right, there you go. That's some good analysis. Like I said, these are just some early thoughts. I haven't really researched too much. As a matter of fact, the site I use, they don't even RotoGrinders doesn't even have their starting lineup page with all the DraftKings like salaries and everything. I mean, I could look them up because you can already start joining leagues, you know, for next week. I haven't really built any rosters too much yet. All right, next game, Houston at Indianapolis. I see that Indianapolis are 4.5-point favorites. I don't see an over-under. Maybe that'll come out. Dude, Brock Osweiler, I know the weather was bad, but it's going to be tough for him to go into Indianapolis and win. What do you think?
Well, I mean, there's not going to be another weather. The weather's not going to be a factor in Indianapolis.
That's for sure. But
still, Lamar Miller is now 100%, and here's another offensive line that's craptastic. And like I said, this is a revenge game for the Colts. There's a tax right there. I can only bet the Colts at a field goal. There's no way I'm betting more than that. That defense is still very untrustworthy. We are talking about Brock Osweiler. I can only lean towards Andrew Luck, but I don't bet favorite, you know, typically.
Yeah. All right, next game, Cincinnati at Cleveland. Cincinnati open at 4-point favorites, all the way up to 5.5. Over-under is open at 44. Looks like it's getting bet down, 43.5, 43. Is Cleveland going to win? Like, this is their only chance, right, to win for the rest of the year?
No, I don't know. Let me check their schedule out real quick. That's a good question. I don't think they're going to win this game. I think it's going to be close. Like I said, I really wouldn't bet them 5.5. I'm showing 4.5, but if now that you're saying 5.5, I'll wait to see that 5.5 at my place, because that money will show. They will crash it.
This could be fantasy-wise, this could be a good spot for Jeremy Hill for Cincinnati. And
I mean, if you're talking about fantasy, are we going to see AJ Green?
Well, I mean, I don't know. That's something you need to. But my next point I was going to say is this could be a sneaky passing game. You know, especially if Josh McCown's going to play. I know it might be Kessler, but if Josh McCown,
RG3 is practicing.
Oh, RG3 too. Yeah, dude, this could be a sneaky. But okay, if RG3 is playing, I don't like him, but I like the receivers more because I think he's going to air it out, especially to Coleman and to Terrell Pryor.
I'm going to agree with you, man. If they're winning a game, it's going to be this one.
So this might be a sneaky game to target. I mean, Cincinnati.
Let me fill in the audience at what I'm looking at. The Browns off of a bye with a healthy RG3 have extra time to game plan against their in-state rival, division rival, the Cincinnati Bengals. Then if they don't win this game, they have to go to frigid Buffalo in the playoff. Who thinks in a playoff hunt? Then they host the Chargers. I don't think they beat Phillip Rivers. And then they have to go to Pittsburgh. They finish the year at Pittsburgh.
Right.
So yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I like them. I mean, if you're gonna sprinkle a little money line,
then
go for it.
Yeah. All right. Pittsburgh at Buffalo. Pittsburgh 2-point favorites on the road. Over/under is 47.5. This is going
to
be
just to go back to that game real quick, though.
Okay.
Because one thing Hugh Jackson does have is, you know, you talk about sneaky playmakers. He's got Pryor. He's got Coleman. He got a good set of running backs.
Barnage.
Decent tight end.
Yeah.
He's got a good left tackle in Joe Thomas. And, I mean, we talked about – look at the weapons that Cincinnati's lost. I mean, just go backwards. Giovanni Bernard, A.J. Green, Mohamed Sanu, Marvin Jones. That's a lot of weapons.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So – yeah, man, that's a good call. Moneyline, let's go ahead and moneyline the Browns, 1-15.
Yeah, let's see if they can do it. Maybe Niners can end up getting the number one pick. All right, so Pittsburgh at Buffalo, like I said, Pittsburgh 2-point favorites, over under 47.5. I would really like it if both of these running backs got like 40 carries for like 200 yards each. That would be pretty awesome.
I didn't get to see a whole lot of that game yesterday. What kind of play calling was it?
For Pittsburgh?
The Pittsburgh game.
I mean, I didn't see a lot of it either, but looking at the box score, Le'Veon Bell just keeps getting his passes.
Yeah, I definitely saw it. Like him and David Johnson, you just pair them up and you got a fantasy all-star team.
Yeah, but that's why they're so expensive. David Johnson is the highest priced player on DraftKings now. So
wow, that's, man. And if anywhere inside the 20, it's like, you know, he's going to get a touchdown.
It's crazy, dude. He gets so many catches and so many carries. He just gets so much volume. I wonder like when he's going to wear down, but he doesn't show signs of it, you know?
Yeah, and this is, yeah. Anyways, Carson. Hey, he finally Carson Palmer had finally had the his big game that he'd been waiting on.
That's his comeback game.
When he threw for 300 yards and had three touchdowns, I was like, oh, okay.
The comeback.
There it is.
The
there
comeback kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, when no one plays him. Anyways, man, do you have a read on the Pittsburgh-Buffalo game at all? It's in Buffalo, but, man, that Buffalo defense.
I think it's too expensive to bet Pittsburgh, especially because it's in Buffalo. But like you said, I really am hoping for a lot of yards, a lot of big plays. We know Buffalo is susceptible to it, and we know that Pittsburgh defense isn't exactly lockdown defense either.
Yeah, it's a, and these home road splits. You know, I'm just hoping there's not a lot of defense in this game.
I'm hoping there's not a lot of wind. That's the only thing that could make it really shitty.
Yeah, really cold, too. All right, speaking of Carson, he travels to Miami to face the Dolphins, who are 2.5-point favorites at home. Over-under is 43.5. Basically, you play David Johnson every week, and you're guaranteed, like, 27 points. That's pretty
And it's pretty so, I did see some of the Baltimore Raven game, because when as soon as they went down 14-0, I put it on. Well, I specifically changed it to that game, because I was like, what the hell? And I'm beginning to think that Jay Ajayi is matchup proof, man.
He runs great, and if his offensive line is healthy, yeah, man, he looks good. I agree with you. I did see some of that game, and I was like, man, he's fast, he's big,
he's explosive, patient, bro. He's patient.
Got
too.
Good vision, huh?
Yeah, I see him waiting for the hold, and he just turns it on. I mean, there's only one Le'Veon Bell, but you definitely want to have your running backs be patient. And that's the thing that I think he and Melvin Gordon learn. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott doesn't have to be patient because the holes are there with that awesome offensive line. But you're talking about these running backs that maybe get drafted and they're not awesome their rookie year, like a Melvin Gordon or like a Jay Ajayi, but the teams are also patient with them, and that's good. I think fantasy owners can benefit from that.
Yeah, totally agree. All right, next up. Wait, are we betting Carson on the road? I'm sounding like Miami. If you can get Miami,
no, I can't bet Carson, but I don't like Miami too much either.
Yeah, no, I agree. I stay away from that one. Chicago at Detroit. Detroit 8-point favorites at home. Over-under is 43.5. Big win by Detroit yesterday, dude. Big win. They look good on offense.
And what did
they look
I tell
good
you?
On defense.
And what did I tell you? Remember what I told you last week?
Yeah.
Specifically about the Saints? I was like, dude, I think they gave it all they got, and I think that took up too much of their energy, too much of their juice to round up the score against the Rams. And I was definitely a beneficiary of that. You know, that line was coming down. The money line only went to, like, plus 185, but I took it anyway. But
I ended up staying away from a lot of New Orleans Saints on DFS. I sprinkled some Snead here and there because my research showed me that he had the best matchup. But yeah, I got lucky and I was like, you know what? I think I like the Lions because teams have been able to score against New Orleans. And moving on.
I'm not going to be a big Lion guy, but specifically, I learned yesterday the Lions are like the best tackling team in the NFL, and that's definitely a lost art. You're not getting the most sacks, but if you just play what's in front of you, eventually you're going to have teams in third and long, and then if you stop them on third and seven, it's a fourth and two, they're going to punt, and you're going to give the ball to Matt Stafford. And they pretty much dominated that game without Marvin Jones. So I know I interrupted you, but I just wanted to say that.
No, it's good, man. I probably wasn't making a point anyways. Thanks for saving me. So this game, from a fantasy perspective, man, Jordan Howard balled out, but like I said before, it's against the Niners, so it's not really like you can't. It's hard to compare it to the next game because we make all quarterbacks and running backs look awesome. That's a lot of points, man, for Detroit, and it is a division game. I don't know. What do you think? Is that a teaser?
I think that's a lot of points because one thing that the Bears are doing is they're not giving up. They're still trying, and nothing's going to help that mojo like a win in that nasty weather. And I counted like three drop balls by Bears receivers, like down 20, 30, 40 yard pickups.
Oh, yeah.
So if those are there against the Lions, like I said, the Lions will give you those holes and then they'll just wait to tackle you. And then if there's going to be, you know, 25, 30 touches for Jordan Howard, that's too many points for a division game. I totally agree with you. I mean, it's one thing to take the Lions, and I know people are going to be on them as almost, you know, flavor of the week. where, you know, everybody, the Bears suck. Oh, they just beat the Niners. Yeah, come on, the Niners suck too. I mean, I can already imagine the sports book.
Trust me, I watched all of that 49ers Chicago game, and Chicago's offense is not that great, man. Niners made them look that great.
But what I want to say is, you know, the Lions were arrested, and I think the Saints are running off fumes. And like I said, this game's indoors, division game. I don't think the Lions are going to blow them out.
All right, Minnesota at Jacksonville. The over-under is 40. Minnesota is 3-point favorites on the road. Blake Bortles is terrible, and this might be a sneaky DFS spot for not Minnesota defense, I think for Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's defense. The only thing. I have nothing on this game, man. This is not desirable. Maybe I'll start handicapping some college bowl games or see what's on tap for college basketball that day when I start getting into my Sunday, because some of these games I didn't even want to talk about, but you mentioned, you know, the DFS aspect, and I was like, oh yeah, we got to talk about it. But this game has no kind of implication whatsoever. The season went down the toilet with that non-call, and I'm not bitter. I had the Vikings plus 3, so the last thing I want is for them to take it to overtime and then lose by 6 or lose by, then I get a push against the Dallas Cowboys. So
yeah,
this team's done, and I don't really care for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, that's why I was saying. The Jacksonville defense is at home. They are playing pretty solid in the secondary, and Sam Bradford can't pass on anyone. He's on the road. This is a sneaky defense spot.
Sam Bradford doesn't really launch it. He just gives you those 5-yard passes, but it's not like it's going to get intercepted.
Well, it's not going to lead to scoring. But I see what you're saying. He gets rid of it so quick.
We've wasted too much time on this game.
Yeah, let's go. All right, New Orleans at Tampa Bay. This should be a fun game. Over-under is 51, one of the highest of the week. Tampa Bay, 2.5-point favorites at home. I hope there's a lot of fireworks in this one, because I think I'm going to target this game in Daily Fantasy. One of the games I'm going to target.
And even, I mean, I know Mike Evans didn't really have a great game, so you could almost say this is a bounce-back game for him. I know they won 28-21, but Evans was really limited in San Diego. So maybe they get that play action going. Doug Martin, you know, there's definitely going to be holes against that. Even Theo Riddick had like maybe 16, 20 points against that New Orleans Saints defense, which it's not terribly bad. There's worse ones now. But still, you're talking about Winston and Drew Brees, so they're going to put it up.
Yeah. Like I said, this is a game I'm going to really try to dig into to see where the value's at, who I can play, because I think everyone's in play in this game. The running backs, the quarterbacks, the receivers, so the tight ends. You really want to?
Yeah, Hightower had like 1 point. Who would have known? Who would have thought?
That running back situation's crazy. All right, Washington at Philadelphia. Washington 1-point favorites on the road. Philadelphia, man, Carson Wentz, they've gone downhill. Over-under's 46.5. Dude, the cousin. What was Kirk Cousins' stat line yesterday? I'm going to look that up real quick. Because that fool just keeps scoring. It's crazy. And we got a big decision this week. Well, we'll talk about our fantasy team later, like I said, but Kaepernick's done. That's for sure. Kirk Cousins, 271 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. All right, not that great. But he did have a rushing touchdown.
And a passing touchdown.
That's what I'm saying.
He had a 20. Yeah. He had 2 touchdowns.
He had a rushing and a passing.
Jameson Crowder is really his go-to guy there. Uh-huh. You've got to be aware of that as a DFS owner.
Yeah, and you want to make sure Jordan Reed's back.
I mean, and getting a 26-yard touchdown, I mean, it just goes to show you that he is matchup-proof, because I know a lot of people probably stayed away from him in a pivotal playoff position week in fantasy. So I think he's matchup proof, and maybe it had to do something with the fact that Jordan Reed was out, but he's really going to him.
Yeah, if Jordan Reed's out again, I like Pierre Garçon. Pierre Garçon led the team in targets, 7 catches for 78 yards on 9 targets. And DeSean Jackson had some bombs too, and you might, if you're into narratives, you know, he's going back to Philly, maybe he wants to get a couple bombs thrown his way. If you're into that kind of thing, I think Washington wins, though. I mean, 1 point, give me that. That's what I think. But you're the professional.
Oh, well, I think there's going to be some movement on this line. So I'm not really looking to play Cousins on the road again. But I think the wheels are off the Philadelphia wagon, too. So I'm not going to lock up my money right now because there is a lot of basketball on. But, yeah, I could see this line going to Washington minus 2.5.
Dude, David Johnson had 12 targets, 9 catches for 91 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, that's what the Dolphins are up against.
Freaking 18 carries for 84 yards and a touchdown. That's crazy. Yeah,
that's all hope right. He replicates there. I could really use that in the ESPN Fantasy League.
So the Jets at the Niners, over-under is 46. Niners are 1-point favorites at home. I guess this means that Vegas thinks that Kaepernick's going to start, but, I mean, there's
Well, didn't Chip Kelly say that Kaepernick's going to start?
Dude, okay, so I'm not trying to bring this up in a jacked up way, but Chip Kelly's father passed away on Friday. And the only reason why he coached is because his mom wanted him to.
Yeah, I don't think that Chip Kelly has a heart.
Come on, dude. Stop. What the heck?
I'm serious, man. This fool was a robot in Philadelphia. Some of the articles I read about him, he wouldn't even say hi to the people in the hallways. Like, how do you look at somebody and not say hi to him?
I don't know, man. Maybe he was having a bad day, dude. I don't know what you want me to say about that. But all I'm saying is, dude, if you're coaching 2 days after your father passes away, like, that's not a good situation. And that's more than football. That's more than football.
Let's look at the other side of the coin. We're talking about the New York football Jets.
We'll see them today, maybe if they ball out today or something. But, dude, the Niners look so bad. You don't understand how bad they look. I watched that whole game. Bad.
They're from Santa Clara. They played in, like, 10-degree weather. It was snowing and raining. Back-to-back road. I remember I told you, too. I was like, dude, it's going to be a slot fest. This is a one-win team. I don't really trust them to get the W. And I should have put them on my teaser. Fucking cost me pieces of shit.
Yeah, me too. Anyways, man, fuck this game. I don't trust anyone except the.
I think you need to take your fandom out of it because
I can't Kaepernick take my fandom out of
play.
It. Man.
I think crazy. Kaepernick could be a solid play.
All right. Well, I don't know. We have to make sure that
pool's
going to play.
You want to talk about lowly owned? Ain't nobody going to buy Kaepernick.
No one's going to buy Kaepernick. It is a good matchup. You're right. On paper, it is a good matchup.
I mean, this is coming from the guy who was like, don't start Carson Palmer. Bam, Carson Palmer goes off.
Yeah, but there's some luck, man. It's not all variants like that.
Okay, well, then call Colin Kaepernick luck. Lucky. I'm surprised he hasn't got shot. All stupid shit comes out of his mouth.
I guess so. I've heard much stupider things. We shoot people for saying dumb things now?
What's up with that? Of course!
All right, man. Let's move on. Tensions are too high.
Do you know a guy named Jisk? Do you remember a guy named Jisk?
No.
I think he was president. He died November 22nd, 1963.
Oh, JFK.
In Dallas, Fort Worth.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got shot for saying a lot of stupid shit.
Let's move on, man. This is getting too deep over here. When you start going into JFK conspiracies. All right, man. Seattle.
Is it JFK or Jisk?
I think it's JFK. Seattle at Green Bay. This is one of the best games of the weekend. There's two. The Dallas game is going to be a good one, too. Seattle, 2.5-point favorites on the road. Over-under is 46.5. Earl Thomas is out for the year.
Big loss.
Big loss. I think this is a shootout. I think you figure out where you want to go DFS-wise in this game and load up. Give me the over, too.
Big loss. I think that might have just put the Cowboys in the Super Bowl.
Maybe. Green Bay, man. Green Bay. If they can pull out the victory at home, they got a good shot of making the playoffs.
I'm not saying – I'm talking about Super Bowl. I don't – no. I mean, I think Green Bay can sneak into the playoffs, but I don't think they're a threat to make the Super Bowl. Because they have to have long-standing drives where they don't let their defense on the field. You can't count on their defense to make a stop or to create a turnover.
Yeah. I just think I mean, that
they beat the Texas 14-7 at home. 2 years ago, they played a team like that, Brock Osweiler at the helm. They beat that team 28-7.
Yeah. The weather was terrible. We know their defense isn't great. I think that Seattle is going to pass a lot, and this is a good spot for Seattle, fantasy-wise, is what I'm saying. They look good, dude. Russell Wilson looks good. He looks sharp. He got his weapons.
Yeah, I think it one game at a time, but like I said, the Panthers have quit. The Panthers haven't quit. The Packers, I'm sorry.
They haven't quit because they can still make the playoffs, and there's some bad blood. You know, they've had some good games recently between them.
And you always hear things about, when things are going good, you definitely – Cam's a different guy, and things aren't going good for the Panthers, and he's a different guy. And so whether things are going good or bad, the Packers – there's Rodgers going to give it all he's got, and I don't think you can say the same for Cam.
Dang, hot take right there. Manuel Hernandez says Cam is not giving it all he has.
All right, man. Well, he should pay attention. Well, if he was, he'd pay attention to the dress code and then not get suspended when his team needs him.
Dress code. Hey, he wears those hats, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. Atlanta at Los Angeles. What do you like a side in that Seattle-Green Bay game?
Yes, I like the Packers.
Yeah, me too. All right, cool.
I mean, desperate team, underdogs by 2.5.
Seattle with the...
Seattle's offensive line is still shit-tastic.
It's still shit-tastic. Don't get me wrong. Still, and Seattle coming off a big win at night, and their favorite on the road. Give me the short
home dog. This is a team that has lost at Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
They lost to the Rams like 6-3 or some shit like that.
Yeah, that should be a really fun game, man. Atlanta at Los Angeles. Atlanta 4.5-point favorites on the road. Looks like it's up to 5.5. Over under 45.
Yeah, I got 5.5 on me.
Yeah, man, that was a tough loss for Atlanta, but I think the Chiefs are a really good team. What do you think about this game, Manuel?
Man, I want to bet the Rams, but I'm tired of defending them.
Fuck that.
God, and then, like, I wonder how much of a home field advantage Los Angeles really is. Coming to sunny California, you know, being in Atlanta in the Dome, and you just lost to the Chiefs, you're pissed, and then... You know, then somebody pinches you from the Rams in a melee, and you're like, fuck these dirty fuckers. Fuck this. We're going to spread it out. Just launch it.
I like Atlanta.
Unleash Julio.
Yeah, I like Atlanta.
I can only make a case for Atlanta, but I'm not going to bet it.
I like Atlanta in a big bounce back spot.
So, all right, like, man. Big, like, over? Like, where they're going 50 or nothing? Hit the over?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, Atlanta's got the personnel to do it. They have the offensive line. They have...
Their offensive line looked good.
Running backs.
They did look good.
Yeah, the outside threats.
They got like three receivers now with Jones, Sanu, and Gabriel. And both those running backs are good out the backfield. And like I said, dude, like you said, Sunny Cal, if the weather's good and the bodies are warm, oof, this is gonna be.
I mean, how bad can it get? It's Los Angeles. Yesterday, people were fucking walking around in coats. I told Desmond, I was like, oh my God, people are fucking out here wearing coats and scarves, and I'm falling for it too. And boots and gloves, and it's fucking 71 degrees. Like 9 degrees more, and we're at 80. I was like, what the hell?
Oh, man. Yeah, give me Atlanta, dude. I like it.
Yeah, I had to go buy shoes for my daughter for her formal yesterday in Los Angeles. So I was just sneaking in the DirecTV fun ticket on my phone whenever I could sneak it in.
Thanks a lot for the app, man. I thank you so much for allowing me to watch the – wonderful game that was 49ers at Chicago yesterday, man. That brought so much joy to my life.
Oh, well, it's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas. Those games sure do have that feel, and I think maybe we'll have it in Philly. I don't know. Hopefully not if we're going to start Cousins.
All right, man. Sunday night, Dallas at New York, dude. Dallas, balling.
A whole lot of revenge games this week, huh?
Yeah, it's good. 3-point favorites on the road, Dallas. Over-under is 47.5. I don't know how you don't start Ezekiel Elliott, just like we're talking about David Johnson. He's balling. This is a good game, man. It's a good game.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a division game. It's a revenge game.
Yep.
You have Dallas with extra rest. You have rookie on the road. You know, the Giants just came off a loss. But that loss wasn't really too detrimental because it's an AFC loss. It wasn't.
Do you like a side in this one?
Well, what's the spread? Like 2.5?
It's 3? 3. It was 2.5, got bet up to 3. Over-under's 47.5. Yeah, Dallas 3-point favorites.
If it looks like it's people already getting the early money, if it goes up to 3.5, 4, there's no reason why I'm not going to bet the Giants.
Yeah. You know, yeah, they're the short home dog, but Dallas, man, they didn't cover last week, but they won again.
No, and this will be different. This will be the first time that, you know, Dak's going to play in the cold. Even if it's not bad weather, it's still going to be like 30 degrees in New York in December.
Where did he play college at?
I was about to get into that. Dak Prescott went to Mississippi State. I think the coldest he ever played was in maybe 40-degree weather. That's the coldest, with no Arctic, you know, winds. So
yeah, all right.
We already know you can't really count on a consistent game from Des Bryant. He might complain and it just be phased out of the game. But I mean, the Dallas Cowboys have the perfect elixir for cold games.
That's what I was saying. Not just him, but those linemen they got that get out there. They're big and athletic, dude. It's crazy. I'll be seeing him sometimes and like, no one's around. Like, he just runs straight through this hole that these linemen made for him. And then you're asking DBs and linebackers to catch up and to tackle him. It's like, it's crazy.
No, it's not crazy. It's just very fabulous. But
yeah, but that's a good point about the weather. All right, Monday night, Baltimore at New England.
Manual. Another beauty.
So check this out. Deion Lewis got 5 carries for 27 yards. James White got 3. James White had – they both had 5 targets and 4 catches for – James White had 18 yards. Deion Lewis had 11 yards. So they're still splitting a lot of work.
But I think Deion Lewis is just rounding out into game shape. I mean, this is barely going to be his 4th game back, third game back. He didn't have preseason, obviously. And it seems like he's just a step slow now. That could be the surgery, but he's just getting ready to bust it out. Every play I see, I'm just like, oh, man, if he's just that close to busting it loose, in my opinion.
No, what I was going to say is the positive is he's getting more carries and he's looking really good while he's doing them. Because he's gonna be involved in the passing game, and they're running both running backs out there in passing situations. You know, now that they lost Gronk, Bennett's hurt.
Dude, what's the extent of Bennett's injury?
He played, but he was just banged up. You know.
No, I saw that he missed the touchdown.
Well, he dropped it. But it was good defense too. It wasn't like
it was tough. It was tough. But you know, people are gonna say, "Oh, Gronk would have caught that." I don't think. It's apples and oranges. But you understand where I went with that.
Yeah. Now that Gronk's out and Bennett's not there, then I think I played a lot of Edelman, and it was exactly what I thought I was gonna do. I was hoping I'd get between 7 and 10 catches and 100 yards, and he had 8 for 101 on 12 targets. I love Edelman this week. If you're playing the Monday, I like Mitchell. He got 10 targets. So,
dude, I was going to say, you got to like Malcolm Mitchell because you have to think that Jimmy Smith's going to draw Edelman.
Yeah, but still, man, Edelman's performed against them in the past. Like, the way they spread it out and how accurate Tom Brady is on these passes to Edelman, like, I'm not worried about it. As long as he keeps getting the targets, which he will, I'm not worried about Jimmy Smith, to be honest. And on the other side of the ball.
And then to be honest with you, I think the only guy that you really got to stay away from in this week is
Blunt.
Blunt and Bennett.
Yeah.
I really don't think that even, you know, Chris Hogan, even sneaky play, he caught a touchdown too. So
we're hoping it's Deion Lewis or White, especially if they can't establish the run game, and especially if Baltimore can find ways to score, which I think they can. That's going to be good for us, and that's going to be good for New England fantasy. Like, if they have to score to keep up or to keep the pressure going.
No, you know? This game's definitely going to shoot over the total. I saw an interview with Flacco talking about he had a meeting with his offensive coordinator on Tuesday that he wants more down the field passing, and definitely saw that going to the tight ends and going to the wide receivers on the outside. They have that running game to keep that defense fresh.
Yeah.
The Ravens, on their way to the championship maybe 4 or 5 years ago, they beat the Patriots. They, you know, John Harbaugh knows how to play Bill Belichick. I know it's going to be in New England, but, I mean, when you look at who New England has beat, it's not an impressive lineup of who's who. They went to Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh would have Landry Jones. They beat the Rams. They beat the Browns. They've They haven't played it. You know, they beat the Jets. They beat the Buffalo Bills. They really haven't beat these teams that are upper echelon. Mm. And it's not my opinion. It's just a fact when you look at the standings. They haven't beaten above average teams.
Yeah.
Man. I'm saying a 7 is too much.
Yeah, that's a lot. No, I agree. That is a lot. That's going to be a good game.
Not only that, but when you have the X factor of the guy who's not going to miss a field goal, when get you in field goal range as soon as you get to the 40, that's fabulous.
Yeah, anything else about this game?
Yeah, you got to take +7 in the over.
There you go, and I like both quarterback plays if you're doing a Monday slate. Hey, check this out, man. Real quick, you're in my league. You are going to be first place. Playoffs start next week. You are either going to play Polo, Easy Desert, or George, Super Stouts, depending on what happens tonight. It's crazy because right now, George, your matchup against George, but if he loses and Polo wins, Polo has the tiebreaker, more points, and Polo's going to win. He got that locked up. George is projected to lose by 2 points, 3 points.
Wait, projections? Let me go to it real quick.
So check this out. George has – who does he have going tonight? What is his projections? Let's see. Oh, he has Forte. And he has Forte.
I looked at this. It's Forte versus –
He's down 17, and he just has Forte. That's it.
Okay, and what's the scenario? Who do I play for who?
You play the winner. So,
winner of who?
If George wins, you'll play him.
Uh-huh.
If George loses, you'll play Polo.
And Easy Does It already won.
I mean, not officially, but yeah, he's going to win. You know, he. I think he has to have.
No, both their players. They're both their players. I've already played. Right, is what you're saying.
No, actually, let's see.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's Bilal Powell versus T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, but Bilal Powell has a 30-point lead, so it's going to be hard. You know, for.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. That's why I said. Who would you rather face? You got. Ugh. Well. Ezekiel Elliott is on Easy Desert. And George got the Derek Carr, Lamar Miller, Forte. Both those teams are not that good, dude. You're going to win.
Well, no, I would definitely. I mean, I don't say that. This is fantasy. And then anything can happen.
That's why you get the first seed, Manuel, too. Face one of these chumps.
I don't even think I deserve to be the first seed. I think I'm like fifth, like middle of the road in points.
Yeah, but dude, you won like 11 in a row. It was crazy. You lost your first game, and then you're like the fantasy Cowboys. All I know is
that the supercomputer said that I had like the second worst draft, and I was like, fuck you, computers.
You really showed them. All right, anyways, Manuel, we'll talk about the results of the fantasy leagues. NFL Week 14. You got anything else to add?
No, man. Well, actually, I'm gonna keep beating the young colt to the ground, the dead horse. The Indianapolis Colts are going to the playoffs. They're gonna win the South. So don't forget it.
All right, there you go. You heard it first. All right, the Sports Gamble Podcast. We out. Peace.
Peace.
Tired of losing? Not winning enough? Sports Gamble Podcast. Your mom's favorite sports gamble podcast.